So this is a bit of an exercise here to synthesize the work that's been done in the lab on soil conditions and thaw emissions of nitrous oxide. And it's, of course, nothing I do is in isolation. And there's a whole slew of students, past students and current students, MSc, PhD students, technicians in the lab, and project collaborators in which several are here in the audience today, and then also a whole bunch of funders to conduct this work. Now, in Canada, I found the title of the symposium quite interesting, especially the last word, I think, is perils there, and I'm not sure how, but if we're going to address that in terms of if we're doomed for not looking at winter conditions, but let's look at Canada, and these are the coldest month of the year, temperatures, air temperature-wise, okay? So except for balmy Vancouver Island and the Fraser Valley, if Shabtai's here, they don't get freezing conditions. The rest of Canada does, and particularly with the prairies, and particularly where I am in Manitoba, it's the coldest, okay? As we move further east and there's a tropical southern Ontario, Harrow area, Windsor by Detroit, less so, but still freezing. So we're basically guaranteed freezing conditions throughout Canada. Now, where I am, we're guaranteed that we're going to get decent freezing. Okay, we're going to get decent freezing. The soil's going to be—it's probably not going to be much free water. Okay, and snow variation will have less an effect on temperatures, but maybe that's wrong in terms of thought. So there's this variation across Canada. I think we have a huge challenge ahead of us to figure out what does this really mean in terms of thaw emissions. What's happening in my neck of the woods may be very different than what's happening in around Truro, Nova Scotia, which is very different than Aurora, which is very different than Saskatoon, possibly, and so forth. And of course, because of this cold weather, everybody in terms of Americans in the audience, everybody thinks that we live in igloos. This is my home in Winnipeg. And, of course, everybody blames Canada on because all this stuff comes southwards, right? So what do we know about thaw emissions? We know a tremendous amount, actually, that they're extremely brief. It can be up to 70%, if not more, from Claudia's work in terms of annual emissions of N2O. That biological denitrification is involved here. And that emissions are proportional to soil nitrate. The intensity of freezing, so the more lower the temperatures and for a longer period of time, the more emissions can happen at thaw, and that fall hogs slurry applications, so we're adding a carbon source in the fall can increase emissions in the thaw in the following spring, and that the nitrous oxide to nitrogen gas ratio that's emitted during the thaw emissions goes up. Again, that tells us that it's really related with denitrification. Okay, so we actually know quite a bit about this. What we're actually lacking more so now is the management and the infield practices that our producers are doing to control these emissions. So, okay, I'm going to talk about two basic areas in Manitoba where the research is conducted. The first is the Red River Valley of the north. I have to say north when I go south of the border. As you probably know, Manitoba, North Dakota, Minnesota, and it squeaks into a little bit of South Dakota in terms of the basin. It's a very flat area, lots of clay present. And don't get confused with the Red River Valley of the South. And here it is, just where we are in Texas. The north border here is the Red River as well. This is what it looks like just around thaw period in my neck of the woods, south of Winnipeg. It's flat. We have standing water and ice. So that's no melt can occur. Then we can have water freezing there. It's just basically an ice rink. And it's quite different than other places I've experienced, like in Ontario. And even the way the soil thaws is different. In Ontario, it's like a porridge, the soil, when at thaw conditions. We don't have a porridge. We have basically like a gumbo still even then. It doesn't fluff up and bubble and all that kind of stuff like it does in Aurora, but it's quite different. And the standing water is quite particular to us because we have this deep frost penetration and a lot of snowpack. So at this site, we're measuring nitrous oxide by the flux gradient technique, which I won't get into now, but it gives us allows us continuous monitoring of the emissions. The other location is in the Prairie Pothole region, which is west of us. And this is a region that takes a big swath of northern Great Plains and the Canadian prairies, where we can take natural variation and landscape position, which is inherent change in soil characteristics from low organic carbon content in the surface soil to, as we go lower in the slope, to riparian zones to more organic carbon, okay, and associated change in bulk density, moisture content, and so forth. Take advantage of this natural variation to see if we can tease out some controls on nitrous oxide emissions. And some of the methods that we've done here, this is using these silicone gas chambers that are inserted. I call them dynamite sticks that are inserted in the soil, that we can take a syringe and we can sample the gas concentration in soil, or we can use chambers here like DEGI is using to get the surface emissions. So let's start now south of Winnipeg at our site where we have continuous monitoring the flux gradient technique. From 2006 to 2011, and this is nitrous oxide emissions, kilograms N per hectare per day. The first thing you see is that these are some tremendous rates here, probably higher than anybody else in this room has been measuring at their sites. And we have very high organic matter content, 6 to 8% here. And again, it's 80-90% clay content. And this type of conditions in the spring, it can be it's water saturated. But the first thing you see is these little blips here of thaw emissions that are brief, about a week long in duration. And then there's these other peaks that are much higher, which are the ones that are followed by fertilizer addition. Okay, I'm going to concentrate on the thaw emissions, but The first thing that you see is that almost in every year we get a thaw emission. And this year here, we actually didn't measure it because we did, an emergency flood preparedness. We actually had to remove our site, and I had to put it up on a tractor trailer bed to get it above water line from flooding, potential flooding. So we didn't measure it in this year, but I'm sure there was a emission peak as well. So it happens. You can go to the bank and say, we're going to have thaw emissions, but you can see the peaks are quite different, and our challenge is to figure out why, what's happening there. Here's an example of looking at the two plots at that site with continuous monitoring with annuals growing, that we can see soil temperature. As the soil temperature goes up and approaches zero, we get an emission of nitrous oxide. And it's very brief. It's only a few days here, and the soil can refreeze a little bit and thaw again. We don't find a subsequent thaw cycle emissions. We just get one shot and it's over. Okay. But look under alfalfa. The soil temperature starts off warmer because of the insulation of the snow cover trapping, and we get no nitrous oxide emissions. Surprisingly, the nitrate in the soils are very similar between the annual and the alfalfa, okay? But it's really the temperature here that is a big, big leading factor. We didn't have that quite that deep freezing here to cause the stimulation. We look at the emissions of the thaw versus the total, and the first thing that we can see is that the percent thaw emissions of the total emissions anywhere from 26 to 62, and this is pretty consistent with what others in the room have found as well, in that anywhere from 25, 80, 85% of annual emissions can be attributed to thaw. So it's a big thing to think about. Maybe this is where the peril comes in. And the other thing, in terms of looking at different factors, to me, I can't see really a relationship so much with nitrate that I'm measuring in the soil. I cannot find a relationship at the moment anyway with freezing intensity in terms of the duration of freezing, at least for these annual crops. But the nitrogen that's added in the previous year to the previous year's crop is a big factor. Okay, and that's what I've just highlighted here in this corn year and the rapeseed year, with high nitrogen addition rates because of the end demand of those crops, and we have high subsequent nitrous oxide emissions the following spring. We've got to tease this out a bit more, looking at nitrogen uptake by those crops and then what's residual, and probably can fine-tune this a bit better in terms of relationships. And again, that's just pointing out that the high thaw emissions at those times, about 4 kilograms of N per hectare per day. That's pretty outstanding. So let's go now to the Prairie Pothole, where we have this upper, mid, lower, and riparian zone, and look what's happening inside soil for in situ nitrous oxide concentrations. You can see at the thaw period, we have nitrous oxide concentration starts to increase, and in the lower and riparian zone, it really increases. Okay, look, there's a scale difference here. So it's really building up in soil there. Okay, we don't have that fertilizer buildup of resulting in fertilizer in terms of nitrous oxide concentration. When we look at emissions from the surface, it's only the lower slope position that actually contributed, actually had emissions realized at the surface soil. And when we look at soil moisture, these lower and the riparian zone had higher volumetric moisture contents than the upper and middle. And particularly that riparian zone actually had very high moisture at five centimeters and actually had standing water. There seems to be something, but that standing water prevented that emissions of the N2O. So we didn't have that standing water in the lower, and that's why we had a resulting of N2O emissions. So it's not so much if the N2O was in the soil, it's how does it get out of the soil to the surface, and these are the conditions that management can probably have a great influence on. We look at landscape position for surface soil between the upper, middle, lower, and riparian. Look at this, the riparian, when we do freestyle assays in the lab, this is the one that has the greatest potential for producing N2O, actually, in the soil. Maybe not realized because of other conditions in the field, but the one that has the greatest potential. And when we look at soil depth, taking the upper position as the surface soil, so that 0 to 10 centimeter soil that has the greatest potential for producing N2O during thaw. The lower depths, not much. And there's very little organic carbon in these lower depths here. Okay? So there's a relationship between the organic carbon in that surface soil that we see in terms of thaw emission potential. And those riparian zones even have more potential. And of course, they have higher organic matter content. And when we thaw cores taken from the field that have been frozen, again, we see the riparian zone has the best ability to produce N2O from those from frozen depths compared to the upper, lower, and middle slope positions, much higher as well. But does it get out to the surface? No, it was really only in this lower position that it did. And just to wrap up here in terms of recent work that we've done in terms of it's the relative activity of the N2O production and consumption that is really involved here. What is that N2O to N2 ratio? Okay. So again, laboratory incubations with freezing and thawing and where the N2O ratios are 0.53 with nitrate added and 0.07 with no nitrate added. So most of the N2O is actually being denitrified. But when we go to frozen conditions and thaw, we see there's actually less N2 being produced and more N2O, resulting in an increase in the N2O to N2 ratio. Okay? This is done with acetylene with all its inherent faults, but I think it's given us a glimpse here of what's happening in that. For a very short period of time, there's a change in that N2O to N2 ratio at low temperatures, around -1 to 4 degrees, and that's resulting in that greater N2O. So just to conclude, electron donor supply increases thaw potential, and the moisture and thaw impacts denitrification sequence, and particularly the snow melt contribution, that standing water is a big factor, especially in level and where water cannot move. Didn't show it here, but compaction decreases emissions, which I think soil compaction, which is related with denitrification. It's nitrous oxide reductase activity is probably key. And it's this balance thing that we need to think more about, and that a soil is not a soil in terms of what maybe happened in other regions of Canada with what work I'm showing here, and that management practices have a great influence. So with that, thank you very much, and I think we have a lot more in terms of looking at the soil to do.